Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local cheap eats and yummy treats, and also events that are happening or not happening around town, and places to go and get some fresh air, go for a walk, and places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians. Hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. And welcome to the Wham Bam East Van Show. I'm your host, DJ Medi, and we're broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on unceded Coast Salish territory in beautiful Burnaby, BC, which includes the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, the Ketse, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we have a special guest, Allison Solo. What? Say hello, Allison.
Hey, everybody.
Yes, and please introduce yourself to the world.
Okay, world. I'm Allison Solo. I work full-time at a call center. I'm just existing like everybody else. I'm just your everyday person. I have a vast array of interests. I've kind of relegated myself to the dreaded musical hobbyist. I suppose I used to pursue music on a full-time level, or not full-time, but just, you know, something that I was actively pursuing, whereby I kind of arranged everything in my life to facilitate that. Mm-hmm. And now it's the opposite. And now it's like the rest of my life is, you know, kind of ebbing and flowing, and I'm just trying to fit it in somewhere in the grand scheme of things, you know?
Okay, but you have created amazing music. But let's get to right to the beginning. How did the music start?
I think it probably started in the womb.
Okay.
I'm sure it did.
Your parents, are they musical people?
I come from a very musical family, so I can't say that that didn't have any influence on me. I feel like there was some sort of spiritual predisposition.
Yes.
The fact that I was born into a family that, like I said, kind of like garnered that and helped me flourish. I think it really, really was a huge influence in my development as an artist.
Oh, for sure. Okay, and when did you start picking on that guitar?
So I started playing the guitar when I was 11 years old, but I started actually songwriting when I was younger.
Okay, how old was that?
Probably about eight.
Eight, okay, yeah. You started making your own music. Okay.
Yeah, and that actually goes back to my aunt and uncle. So my uncle came into our family through marriage, and my mom and my aunt, they were twins, and they used to write songs together, like, way back in the day. When my uncle came into the family, he was a guitar player and songwriter, so him and my aunt used to write songs. So I think that totally opened the floodgates for me, and it was like, this feels familiar to me. So I started kind of playing with them, actually, and jamming and like just hearing like melodies in my head, and I think I thought that was very normal.
Okay.
And I have a vivid memory of sitting in my parents' backyard. It was like a beautiful summer's day, you know, the green grass was like an emerald green, like the wind was blowing.
Wow.
And I was sitting with like with a piece of paper and a pen, and I actually remember sitting and like listening to a Whitney Houston song in my head.
Okay.
But I was filling in my own lyrics.
Mm.
So that was something that kind of helped me to like develop that, you know. And then my aunt and uncle bought me a guitar for Christmas when I was 11, and it was at the same time as a friend of mine. So like we both kind of had the incentive to learn at the same time.
Yeah.
That was it. And, you know, I remember, like, the first day I got it, I like, I think it was on Christmas Day I came home, and I'm just, I was already opening, like, my guitar book and teaching myself.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And my, okay. And my uncle was kind enough to actually draw up charts for me. He drew up guitar charts and everything, and, you know, and that was it. Like, for me, that was... There was nothing else in life,
right?
You know,
right. And yeah. I have seen another. She's on YouTube, folks. Just so you know, so Allison Solo. If you look her up, you know, you'll see some amazing stuff. But I also noticed you play keyboard. So do you play piano as well?
Kind of. I dabble in it. It's always something I kind of keep around, but I'm not like formally trained or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've right. always been that kind of person. I like to try and learn as much as I can on my own. So I just take little bits from everywhere and then I use it for what I need to accomplish.
Right. Okay.
You know?
Okay, so guitar and then and a little bit of keyboard.
A little bit of piano.
Okay,
yeah.
And then what else? Anything else?
I guess the bass.
I
played the bass in a few bands actually when I was living in Toronto.
Okay.
I picked that up. And that's my favorite.
Yes, tell me about Toronto. Yeah, tell me about Toronto and I think you told me you actually wrote an album when you were 16.
So I actually recorded, well, you're probably right, because I recorded it when I was 18.
I was
really starting to write it at about 15.
15, 16,
I kind of have a cool story with that, actually.
Yes.
So when I was 15, I recorded my first real demo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd been in the studio with my uncle when I was, like, 11, and I was with, like, a bunch of old guys drinking and smoking, and, like, I just remember sitting in the studio, and I'm like, man, that guy's breath stinks. Like, and I'm playing Green Day, because Dookie was, like, you know, all the hype back then. And,
right.
So I started, like, becoming familiarized with that world, right?
Mm.
And then when I was 15, I recorded my first 3-song demo, and that was at Dominic Trano's studio, Dominic Trano of the Guess Who.
No way.
Yeah, he was such a lovely man. I met him, like, once, but
yeah.
he was a beautiful human being. But that was my first demo, and then I guess, like I said, I just got... I almost want to use the word addicted, mm-hmm. you know, like once you open that can of worms, you're just like, okay, I've got some stuff that I need to say. It just felt like I had something like an avalanche that needed to pour out. It was like facilitating something very deep for me, and I can't really explain what that is.
Right.
But it just felt like I was on the organic path that I needed to be on.
You're meant to be a singer then, right? That's to you.
Yeah, yeah. At least for like that part of my life, you know, mm-hmm. for like, the, I guess, am I in midlife crisis? I guess. I don't know. So I recorded my first full-length album when I was 18 in a studio in Toronto, and I never like formally released it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a CD release party.
Yes.
I had a band play with me, and I had a party, and I remember everybody was there, like my family, my friends,
nice,
my ex-boyfriend, my high school sweetheart at the Aww. Time. Everybody was there to support me.
Yes.
And it was a beautiful day, you know, and it was very like DIY. I think the producer of the album took pictures for me and like made the
cover
album art and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I don't even know. Like, I have a copy somewhere kicking around in storage, but right. I'm always like, man, if anybody has a copy of that CD, mail it to me.
Right.
Because I don't even know if I have it.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Yes, hopefully they'll be sending you a message. I still got it.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let's talk about your first one. Tell me about this song called My Divine Right.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, My Divine Right. God, I'm really going back here. I wrote that probably when I was about 20 or 21.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's so personal. I mean, what art or song isn't personal? But it's pretty heavy material, you know? I don't know. I think a lot of my early stuff, in My Divine Right in particular, it was really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I always gravitated towards really dark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other conversation that we'll get into one day. But I think that is kind of reflective of certain astrological placements that I have. I'm really into astrology. Mm-hmm. I have been studying that part-time for a few years on and off, very part-time, but I actually took a course. But there is this natural propensity for me to really delve beneath the surface. Mm. Like, I like to dig and dig and dig, and I ask questions, and I want the truth, you know?
Interesting, yes.
So that song is probably, it's very intense, like a lot of my stuff is. And it's dark. It's really dark. Very dark content. It's probably not something I should really get into here, per se. But if you ever meet me in real life, you know, we'll chat.
All right. Here's My Divine Right on CJSF 90.1 FM. Good. So now we're off air. All right, and we are back chatting with Allison Solo. All right, and she's going to tell me about the album Cicada, and it's actually spelled a little different. Tell me about the spelling here. of that album.
Yeah. So I suppose at the time I wanted to spell it in something slightly more exotic. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like the way it looked from a logo perspective.
Right.
So I spelt it kind of phonetically, sort of. I just liked that better, and it was kind of cool because I had a lot more, I suppose people were inquiring about it more and saying, hey, what does that mean? And I kind of liked being asked because it gave me the opportunity to be like, hey, this
explain
is
what... that. Yeah. Yes. So there is a picture on the album with a cicada. Yeah. And then it's actually spelled S-A-K-A-I-T-A. So that's why I was like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a name. It looks like a,
Yeah, exactly. I thought it looked like a name and I just thought it sounded really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a story behind that title. Mm-hmm. And so I worked in the hospitality industry for 12 years.
Yes.
I waitressed and I bartended. And I've had about 50 jobs. Like, you're not a real musician until you've right. at least 50, right? I'm not even being hyperbolic there, unfortunately. Well, maybe not so unfortunate. But anyway, so I was working in a pub at the time, and I met some very eccentric characters. And, you know, it's quite interesting. You know, a lot of my work life, I feel like, was very conducive to helping me come out of my shell. Because mm-hmm. I was actually very shy growing up, like painfully shy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started bartending, that really opened me up. Because I had to...
You have to force yourself to talk to the...
To everybody.
Yes.
And all kinds of people. And you have to do it with no judgment. And, you know, I formed some really great connections with people. But I met this really eccentric painter. You know, like, he painted houses and stuff. And, you know, we used to sit and chat. And, you know, I was telling him about my album. And I was kind of, like, telling him about the motifs and the themes and the things that I was addressing in the album. And it was actually his idea. You have to give credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. And it was his idea. And he said, why don't you name your album Cicada?
Mm.
Because it's all about transformation, deep transformation. And I was like, yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So that's where that came about. It was through Punter at the pub, you know?
Yeah, because there are no cicadas here, but in other countries there are. And I know that because, in Japan they had them and they're you know, buzzing and stuff, right? So I was like, but...
You don't have them here, eh? Because I used to hear them in Ontario.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're in Ontario. Yeah. Okay, so, so people in Vancouver, they're not going to know what...
Guys are missing out. All those different pitches and harmonies.
Okay, and tell me about this song called Days of the New. Oh, sorry, the band is called Days of the New, and the song is called Shelf in the Room.
Mm-hmm.
This one inspired you.
Tremendously.
Yes, tell me.
Yeah, that band. So Days of the New were like around in the mid-90s, and Travis Meeks is the singer, or I suppose was the singer and main brains behind the band, really. He was the songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole band are fantastic instrumentalists, but Travis was the brains and influence for me. You know, just the way he wrote, I found it very unconventional, but so expressive, like, you know, and it just really resonated with me on a really deep level. And I remember when I first heard, like, the first 10 seconds of that song, Shelf in the Room, like, everything just perked up, and I'm like, what is that? And I almost feel like, on some level, it's like there's just this understanding. Like, I feel like I understand him. Just from a musical perspective, you know? I've never met him. Actually, I have. I have met him.
Oh,
that's a lie. Yes, I have met him.
Where did you meet him?
I actually met him in upstate New York in Poughkeepsie.
Okay. Did you go to a concert or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went out with a friend of mine about 9 years ago. We went to New York and we decided to see two bands back to back. And that was one of them. That was on their reunion tour.
Mm-hmm.
We were so fortunate to see that because that was one of their last shows. That was their 10-year reunion. So they hadn't been together for 10 years.
Right.
They were telling us they rehearsed like twice because we met the band.
Nice.
And then after that show, I think they had like maybe two more, and then the band disbanded.
All right.
Which was, you know, terrible. I was gutted, but, you know.
Here's Days of the New on CJSF.
Mm-hmm. can't so distant. I've opened doors. Now when to listen, know what to listen for. Yeah. The shelf in the room has been the way of holding me and letting me stay. Kick me out, let me go.
Yeah, that was so good. So good. Okay, so we have, we just noticed that Rob Snowpeck is listening to the radio, so we want to give a shout out. Hey, Rob.
Mad shout out to Rob.
Yes, and just so you know, folks, yes, Madhouse Records, it's in Burnaby. Look it up, and you can also buy Allison's records there. Yes. Okay.
Love you, Rob.
Yes, and you got some more shout-outs.
Yeah, I have some shout-outs to my peeps in Toronto. I got a few listening in. I know for sure, Michelle and Jay, I know you guys are listening, so I just want to say hello. I love you guys. You're the best. And all my peeps here in Vancouver, I know you guys are listening, too. I don't know if you guys want the shout-out, but you'll know who you are because we just talked before I came on. So.
All right, so next we have a message from John in the House.
Thank you, DJ Mehdi. This is John the House's weekly entertainment file called What Is On in Vancouver's Entertainment Week from Thursday, May the 23rd to Thursday, May the 30th. I'd like to welcome Allison Solo in the studio with DJ Mehdi tonight. Event listings off of Facebook events. Today at 7 p.m., Martin Amini in Vancouver at the Hollywood Theater. Martin Had a Dream. Saturday, May 25th at 10 p.m., Cosmic Gate in Vancouver at the Harbor Events and Convention Center. Wednesday, May the 22nd at 10 p.m. at the Rickshaw Theater, they have Wednesday, May 22nd, Vancouver, BC at the Rickshaw Theater with Drag, D-R-A-A-G. Tuesday, May 21st at 7 p.m., Roy L. Otis in Vancouver at the Pearl on Granville. That's spelled R-O-Y-E-L. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., Flamingosis at the Fortune Sound Club. Tonight, the Chats play at the Pearl on Granville Street. 7:30 start. Next Friday, May the 31st at 10 p.m., DJ Happy Beats in Vancouver at the Harbor Events and Convention Center. This Saturday at 10 p.m., Jasper Tigner at the Village Studios. Friday, May 31st, next week at 7 p.m., Kojak at the Pearl on Granville Street. Well, that looks all for Facebook events. Oh, here's one more. Friday, May 24th at 10 p.m., Maria Nochendia at the Harbor Events Convention Center. Next Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m., Medium Build Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret. Well, that's enough off of Facebook events. Now I'm going to check out RoxyVan.com. You can check out RoxyVan.com as well for more details and events, and Facebook events for more details. This Friday, May 24th at Club 240, that's the Royal Canadian Legion at Crescent Beach. Long Riders, Lynyrd Skynyrd Tribute Live. Event by Good Time Bookings, Club 240, and Eric McCauley. Tuesday, May 21st, Coffee Club at JJ Bean on the Drive. Event by Ice Cream and Donut Run Club. Thursday, May 23rd, 7 p.m., Mr. M and the All-Nighters at Fable Diner Bar next to the Kingston Tap House Grill on Richard Street, one block down on Richard Street, north of Robson. Wednesday, May 29th, 7 p.m., Chanting for Queer Joy, event by Gold Bard Creative at the Cross and Crows Books, 2836 Commercial Drive, near East 12th Avenue. Saturday, May 25th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., at the Open Door Yoga, last Saturday of each month, Curtain on the Drive. Entrance is on Gravely Street. At the Fabulous Roxy, these are the events. At 8 p.m., May 24th, which is Friday, Blue Riviera with Noreen Braun. 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., Journey Toward Wholeness. Saturday, May 25th, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., Shag the Band with Waterfront Station. May 28th, that's on Tuesday, Paul Black, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 29th, the Roxy and Live Acts present Strits with Ocean Bordeaux and Upon the Pike, 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Then after each of these shows, they have the fabulous five house bands to pick from. So they have great entertainment at the Roxy up until 3 o'clock in the morning. So enjoy your time at the fabulous Roxy. Well, this is John in the House. This is my weekly entertainment music file called What Is On. Be safe out there. Leave the keys at home and drive safely. Enjoy your weekends. Goodbye. See you next week. Bye.
This is Bird Noir. I'm Private Eye Michael Stein. When you're a bird detective, things aren't always what they seem. Take this call I got the other day from an up-and-coming gumshoe named Ollie.